Hello, good morning. This is Rick Pena, and I am bringing you today's word for August 11th, 2026. I've been teaching on destiny, on discovering your destiny. This is part 28. I've been teaching from, we looked at Moses first, now we're looking at the life of Jacob. And as we're going through the life of Jacob, we're learning things about destiny. And I hope you've been enjoying this series. If you missed yesterday's message, you should go back and watch it. Part 27. It was really good. Well, this is part 28. The title of today's message is Your Thoughts Are Building Your Future. I don't know if you know this, but the Bible says, be careful what you think because your thoughts control your life. Your thoughts are building your future. Your meditation is going to lead to multiplication in a way that's good or not so good. So you need to make sure that you're thinking on the right things. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of virtue, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to take control of our thoughts because our thoughts control our life. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the way you think you are, and your thoughts are influencing your future. I'm going to talk about it today. I want you to open up your heart to receive. This is going to be good. Let's get ready. I have some foundational scriptures we've been looking at all year, and then I'll give you some scriptures for today. Foundational ones first. 2 Peter 3:18 from the Good News Translation says, but continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Luke 10:20 says, it's time for you to rediscover who you are from heaven's perspective. 1 John 3:10 says, there is a very visible and vast difference between living your life from God's identity and living your life from a fallen man's mindset. Your mindset is important. Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to go search it out. We need to go search out the things of God for us. How do I do it? Jeremiah 29:13, the Lord says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Those are the scriptures for the year. Let me give you some scriptures for today. Genesis 30:38-39 from the New Living Translation says, then he placed these peel branches in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, for that is where they made it. And when they made it in front of the white streaked branches, they gave birth to young animals that were streaked and speckled and spotted. I explained this yesterday once again. God gave Jacob a strategy. Since all your money is now invested in the animals that are spotted, speckled, streaked, and black, we need to make sure that the new animals that are coming out are spotted, speckled, streaked, and black. And so he told them to take these sticks from three different types of trees, peel the bark off, and put it in front of the animals where they were mating. While they were drinking water, that's where the animals came together, had sex, and reproduced. And where they were reproducing, whatever they were looking at while they were reproducing is what came out. And so the animals started coming out, spotted, speckled, streaked, and black. And then it made Jacob rich. Genesis 31:1-2 says, but Jacob soon learned that Laban's sons were grumbling about him. They said stuff like, Jacob has robbed our father of everything. He has gained all his wealth at our father's expense. And Jacob began to notice a change in Laban's attitude towards him. Jacob began to notice a change. Say, man, you really liked me when all the money was going to you. and I'm serving you, but as soon as things start working out for me, all of a sudden I see you didn't say nothing, but I could tell your attitude has changed towards me. Interesting. Proverbs 4:23 from the Easy to Read version says, above all, be careful what you think because your thoughts control your life. Be careful what you think because your thoughts control your life. Joshua 1:8 from the New Living Translation says, study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night. And I need you to be sure to do everything that's written in it. Don't just think about it, but obey it. Then you will prosper and succeed in everything you do. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 from the New King James Version says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you can, you think you can't, either way, you're right. Romans 12 and 2 from the New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Oh man, I want God to transform me into a new person. Don't you want God to transform you into a new person? Let's see what the Apostle Paul said. How do you do it? Let God transform you into a new person, the Bible says, by changing the way you think. If you can change your thoughts, you will change your life. You change by changing the way you think. The Word of God contains the character, the attributes, the nature of God. The more Word of God I get down in my heart, the better I'm going to know the God of the Word. And then the more I have an opportunity to change my character, my attributes, my nature, my soul, my mind, my emotions, my will, my thinker, my feeler, my chooser. And so I'm changing the way I think, the way I feel, the way I make decisions to align with the way God thinks and feels and makes decisions. I'm changing my life by changing the way I think with the Word of God. Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Genesis 31 and verse 12, New Living, the Bible says, the angel said, look up and you will see that only the streaked and speckled and spotted males are mating with the females of your flock. Now, I have seen how Laban has treated you. Genesis 26 and verse 14, this is backing it up a little bit. The Bible says he acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. This was Jacob's father, Isaac. Exodus 1:8, the Bible says, eventually a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. And so that last verse there is a point that I'm going to make, that seasons shift. God used Joseph to get the nation of Israel into Egypt. And because of Joseph, they prospered. Because of Joseph, Egypt was rich and they were rich. But then there came a new Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Things shifted. And then all of a sudden they wound up being slaves for 400 years. So yesterday we saw Jacob taking these sticks and peeling off the bark and putting it down at the watering troughs. And we saw how the animals started coming out, spotted, speckled, and streaked and black. And we saw how the Bible says Jacob became very wealthy with large flocks of, and he had servants now, and he had camels now, and he had donkeys now. And so before he was working for a paycheck, and now everything has shifted, and now the tide has turned, and now the blessing is on him, and now he's walking in the blessing, and now all of a sudden, now that he's walking in the blessing, the people around him started looking at him differently. He started hearing grumblings. He started hearing things that he was not hearing before. Let's talk about it. So what does this mean for you today? I have four things to share with you this morning. I took my time. I'm really trying to take my time in this series. I'm trying not to get too excited and start preaching. I really want to teach you this because I need you to get it. You ready? Four things. Number one, here we go. God gave Jacob a picture before he gave him a herd. God gives you the image before he gives you the manifestation of it. I don't want you to just run past this. The sticks had no power. The peeled bark, I mean, it's just a stick. But the power was in the image that it created in the animals while they were mating. And so because a stick can't make, I mean, like I told you yesterday, you biologically, this makes no sense. A stick on the outside can't change genetically what's happening on the inside. But the problem is that people don't understand the power of meditation. These animals were looking at something that was streaked or spotted or speckled. And as a result, their babies came out streaked and spotted and speckled. God gave Jacob the picture in a dream before he gave him one lamb. And once he had the picture and then he worked the plan, then it started reproducing. That's the power of meditation. God reveals it in your heart before he releases it in your life. Put that in the chat. God reveals it in my heart before he releases it in my life. So it's not that the sticks were magic. There was no magic in the stick. It's just that it was a focus point. It was something for the animals to look at. You have to open your heart to really discern the power of meditation. Like whatever you're thinking about all day, this is how God designed us to work. It's animals in this case, but what happened with those animals actually happens with us every day. You cannot meditate on negative things, talk negative talk all day long, and expect to live a positive life. The picture always comes before the product. The image always comes before the manifestation. God works it on the inside before he releases it on the outside. And so he gives it to you in your heart before he releases it into your hands. That's how God works. And until you see it on the inside, you're not ready for it on the outside. So he reveals it to you and you got to meditate on that thing. And watch this, it has to be so real to you on the inside that you're ready for it on the outside. But if you can't see it, you can't have it. If you can't see it, you can't be it. Your legs will never take you where your soul has never been. So you have to see it on the inside first. Now, I can tell you this, once you see it on the inside, once you're fully persuaded of what God said, once you see yourself the way that God sees you, once you believe what God believes about you, once the image is strong, then it's only a matter of time before you see the manifestation of it. The animals got the image. And then the animals started to reproduce. And then the animals were putting out babies that were spotted and speckled and streaked and black because they changed the input. It changed the output. Say amen to that. This is why Habakkuk 2:2 says you got to write the vision down and make it plain on tablets. So if you want people on your team, in your business, on your organization, in your division, in your church, you want people to be on the same sheet of music, you want people to run with something, then you got to write the vision down and make it plain so that they can see it. You got to keep it before their eyes. It has to be something that they can see. It has to be something that's going through their eye gates to get down in their heart. Then they can run with it because they can see it. If they can't see it, they can't run with it. If the vision is in your head and it's not written down so other people can see it, then they can't run with a vision that's in your head. They need to see it. And so they need to be able to get the image that you have. You have to take if you're a leader and you're leading an organization, a business, a department, a team, a church, you're a leader and you have a vision of something and you want everybody else to be in the same sheet of music, you got to take that vision and cast it. You got to take that vision and communicate it. If you have it, you got to paint a picture in such a way to where the people can see what you see so that they can run with it. The enemy, watch this, cannot cancel what God showed you. So what he does is he tries to get you to meditate on the wrong picture. If the enemy can get you to think about something that's negative, if the enemy can get you to see yourself in lack and fear and offense and comparison and doubt and unbelief, then watch this. If he controls the picture, then he pollutes the production. In other words, if the enemy can get you to stop thinking about what God wants you to think about, and if you meditate on the wrong image, your life is going to produce the wrong things. And so if you meditate on the wrong image, your image is going to be an image that's based in fear and not based in faith. And fear, Pastor Dollar said, fear tolerated becomes faith contaminated. Fear tolerated becomes faith contaminated. If you allow fear, if you tolerate fear, your faith is going to be messed up. So here's my question. What picture, as we're going into the second half of 2026, what picture do you keep before your eyes for your children, your family, your business, your health, your finances, your department, your team, your division? What picture are you keeping before your eyes? Because whatever you're thinking about is what your life is producing right now. Say amen to that. All right, that was number one. Number two, be careful what you think because your thoughts control your life. That's Proverbs 4 and 23 from the Easy to Read version. Solomon did not say, watch this. He did not say, your circumstances control your life. No, that's what people want you to think. He did not say, your enemies control your life. No, that's what this world wants you to think. He did not say to Jacob, Laban controls your life. No, you know what he said? You know what the Bible says? Your thoughts control your life. Your thoughts, not somebody else's thoughts. Your thoughts control your life. If you want your life to change, you got to change what you're thinking about every day. You got to change what you're continually meditating on. You cannot meditate on fear, doubt, unbelief, on failure, on negative things and think that you're going to live this amazing life. It just doesn't work that way. Your life today is the harvest of the meditation from yesterday. Your life today is producing what you were thinking about yesterday. Your mind is never idle. Your mind is always thinking about something, which means that you need to make sure that you take control of every negative thought. The question is, what have you been feeding on? Meditation is not some Eastern practice that the enemy invented. No, meditation is biblical. Meditation is Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You got to think about this thing. Then you got to obey it. You got to go do it. Then you're going to be prosperous in everything that you do. Listen, you got to meditate and medicate on the word of God day and night. Psalms chapter 1. This is not in my notes, but in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in that law does he meditate. How often? Day and night. What's the result? He shall be like a tree, not just any tree, but a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that has a constant supply of what it needs to grow. This tree is producing, watch this, his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because you're meditating and medicating on the word of God day and night. The condition of your life on the outside is contingent upon the condition of your soul on the inside. Your life will change by changing the way you think. This is not a willpower thing. This is the power of meditation. You cannot meditate on a problem and then expect the promise to manifest. You cannot meditate on something that's robbing you of your peace and then think that you're gonna have peace. Listen, your life is giving birth to things on a daily basis. So what you need to do is meditate on the right things. What you think about the most is a prophecy of where your life is headed. Let me say that again. What you think about the most is a prophecy of where your life is headed. So if you show me your dominant thoughts, I will show you the direction of your life. Solomon said it plainly. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You have to fill your heart, your mind, your eyes with good things. You have to meditate and medicate day and night. And your meditation will produce multiplication. Say amen to that. Number three, when God increases you, some people are going to become uncomfortable with it. Let's just take a look at what the Bible says happened in this situation. Once Jacob started increasing, the Bible says that Laban's sons changed. First, they were watching for 20 years as Jacob was making their father rich. And interestingly enough, nobody ever said anything while that was happening. While Jacob was serving, guess what? Nobody said nothing because everything was about Laban. But after the Lord said, hey, let me move on you, Jacob. After Jacob said, hey, I need to take care of my own family. After Jacob said, hey, Lord, what do you want me to do? After Jacob said, hey, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this with the sticks. And after he started getting spotted and speckled and streaked and black animals and his household started increasing, all of a sudden, the Bible says that Laban's sons said, Jacob has robbed our father of everything. Robbed? Really? Jacob didn't take nothing. What God did was transfer the wealth. That's called a wealth transfer. and it came from God, and it came from increase, and it was a miracle. It was not a robbery. It came because Jacob had been sowing for 20 years, and now it was time for him to reap. Nobody has a problem with the blessing on your life, just as long as it's producing for their house. But the grumbling starts when the blessing starts producing for you. Laban's sons said that Jacob robbed their father, and he didn't rob nobody. God was transferring things, and God had every right to do so. See, let me say it this way. Look at me. People who have never seen your seed will always have opinions about your harvest. People who have never seen your seed will always have opinions about your harvest. Listen, Isabella was raised with no running water, no electricity, dirt poor, abject poverty. I thought I was poor because I was raised on welfare. I thought I was poor because I was raised on food stamps. My God, Isabella was raised in a whole different type of poverty. But God taught us years ago. In 2002, we started really embracing the concept of sowing and reaping, becoming stewards, financial stewards, and sowing into ministry. And we give tithes, we give offerings, we give to the poor, we sow into ministry every month. And we've been doing that since 2002. Well, we were tithing before that, but we cover these four categories of giving every month, and we have for years, right? And so this is like, 24 years at this point, and we have seed in the ground. And so if somebody were to come to us today and let's say see Isabella and I, and let's say somebody looks at Isabella and maybe sees how she dresses or what she drives or, whatever, people may have an opinion and say, oh, look at them. They're all about money. Number one, money is not a big deal to us at all, but you're questioning the harvest without knowing anything about the seed. If I got 30 years of seed in the ground, because we were tithing before that, you have no idea how much seed we have in the ground. Genesis 26 and 14 says Isaac acquired, watch this, this didn't just happen to Jacob. It happened to his father, Isaac, too. Isaac acquired because he sowed in the middle of a famine and reaped a hundredfold return. He had money when nobody else had money. Isaac acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. He reaped a hundredfold return. He started buying stuff. And as soon as he did that, as soon as he had plenty, the Philistines became jealous of him. See, increase will always draw attention, and that attention doesn't always come with applause. There's going to be some people that will celebrate what God is doing in your life. And there's going to be some people that will talk about it. There will be grumbling. But watch this. Don't allow or permit the grumbling of others to cause you to apologize for the blessing. No, sir, no, ma'am. So Jacob was like, I'm going to receive the blessing because that's what God told me to do. God is the one that's blessing us. Some of you are still explaining yourselves to people who never prayed for you. Let me say that again. Some of you feel an obligation to try to explain yourself to people who, number one, have no idea how much seed you have in the ground. Number two, they never prayed for you in the first place. Jacob did not defend himself. And what I love is that he didn't downsize what God gave him to make other people comfortable. He didn't have to turn down his light to make other people comfortable. You never have to shrink your harvest to make people comfortable who have no idea about the seeds that you have in the ground. Like you don't have to turn down your light to make other people comfortable when they have no idea what you and God have been going through. They have no idea what you went through. This dude went through 20 years where he was serving somebody else. And now that God is turning things around for him, people have something to say. Well, you didn't say nothing 15 years ago. You didn't say nothing 10 years ago. You didn't say nothing 5 years ago. So you don't owe anybody an apology for receiving the blessing that the Lord is releasing into your life. See, when you are operating in a system that functions on sowing and reaping, and that's how the kingdom works, if you're operating in a system that is based on sowing and reaping, then you don't ever owe anybody an explanation or an apology for your harvest when they have no idea how much seed you have sown into the ground. Say amen to that. My, that third point was good. Like, I mean, that's worth the price of admission right there. You might need to listen to this again just for that third point. All right, number four, so I can let you go. Pay attention when the atmosphere changes. The Bible says in Genesis 31 and 2, Jacob began to notice a change in Laban's attitude towards him. Huh. Notice what's not in that verse. Laban didn't come say, hey, Jacob, I'm mad at you. You know, because some people just don't want to confront you. Some people don't even want to talk to you face to face. Some people want to be passive aggressive. Some people just say stuff, you know, but they don't want to address it head on. Laban did not fire him. Laban did not confront him. Actually, officially, nothing happened. But you know what? His face changed. Jacob has spent 20 years with this man, and he could tell that the atmosphere was different. There was an atmosphere shift. And here is why it matters, because a season will start closing before anybody says a word. God allowed Jacob to feel the shift in his spirit because God was preparing him for the next season. See, seasons rarely come with an announcement, but what happens is the atmosphere shifts. The favor that used to flow now starts to dry up. And when you walk in the room, before the welcome used to be so warm, and now the welcome is a little cold. Why? The Bible says in Exodus 1 and 8, eventually there came a new Pharaoh who knew not Egypt. Remember when Joseph was the savior of Egypt, but then all of a sudden the atmosphere shifted. There came a new Pharaoh who knew not Egypt, and the favor was gone. And instead of the Israelites being welcomed inside of Egypt, they became slaves in Egypt for 400 years. So let me just say this. You got to discern the times. We live our lives out in times and seasons, levels and stages. And you got to operate with a level of discernment to know when things are changing and when things are shifting. And when he noticed that Laban didn't say nothing, Laban didn't come out and say nothing, but he just noticed that Laban was acting different towards him. So what you got to do is you have to be discerning. Don't get too comfortable in an atmosphere that's changing. You got to discern where you are, what you're doing, and you got to discern when people are changing around you, because not everybody that's with you is for you. At the end of the day, you got to be led by the Spirit. And as long as you're led by the Holy Spirit, he will lead you concerning what to do, how to do it, where to go, and what to do when you get there. Say amen to that. I talked about a lot today. I talked about your thoughts. I talked about shifting and seasons and discernment and how people will change when you start getting blessed. Let's close this message out with a declaration of faith. Lift up your voice and say this. Say, Father, I thank you that the blessing on my life has come from you. So I'm careful what I think. I know my thoughts control my life. So Father, I'm just going to meditate on your word day and night. As a result, I'm going to obey it. And if I meditate on it and obey it, I'm going to be prosperous. My meditation determines my multiplication. And the enemy can't stop me. So I'm not going to apologize for the harvest that you're giving me. And when the atmosphere shifts, I'm not going to panic. I'm just going to pray. This is my season of increase. I don't make an apology for it. I receive everything you want me to receive. I walk in the blessing, and greater is coming for me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. This is today's word. Tomorrow, I'm going to have another one. Please apply it and prosper. Listen, if you go to todaysword.org, on the right-hand side, there's a subscribe button. If you put in your email address there, you're going to get all my notes in your email inbox every day for free. Listen, I love you. God loves you more. I need you to do three things real quick. Number one, leave me some comments in the chat if this message has been a blessing to you. Number two, I need you to share it on your social media, on your timeline, and with your friends. Number three, I need you to listen to this outro video. There is some information here for you. This was a good message. Listen to it again if you need to. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you for watching the Grace Life Podcast. There's a few things that I want to make you aware of. First of all, if you would like to support our ministry and especially support what we're doing in the Dominican Republic, well, we have over 235 children in a school getting a Christ-based education free of charge. We're paying for everything. Our ministry does that out of the love of God and all of our partners that are supporting it, you can go to ripministries.org and make a donation, and all your donations are tax deductible in the United States. Also, I have some books that are available to you in audio form and also in paperback or hardcover. So go to amazon.com and just search for Rick Pina, or you can go to rickpina.co. And when you go there, you'll be able to see the links. You can get a book that I wrote called Level Up Your Life, where you can level up your life in five areas of your life. There's a devotional guide that will lead you to experience grace-based success. And if you want assistance with declaring the word of God over your family and your finances and your health and your career, you should get 150 affirmations for men or 150 affirmations for women. And we have lots of other books and journals and other content that can be a blessing to you. People ask me all the time, hey, Rick, how do I get a t-shirt or a hoodie or a coffee mug or some of those things that I see you wear? Well, you can go to thegracelife.store. We've partnered with a brand new store. The quality of the materials are a lot better. Please go to thegracelife.store and you can get all of our products there. Not only that, but at the top of thegracelife.store, there's a link to books. And when you click on books, it'll take you right to all of our products on Amazon as well. Finally, listen, people have been coming to Isabella and I for mentorship for many, many years. And the Lord led me a few years ago to take some of the content that we've been mentoring others with. And instead of just saying it over the phone or on a video call, we've been recording this content and publishing it. We have well over 1,000 videos at this point, and a lot of the videos have a PDF handout that goes along with them. So we publish all of this content on our Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. There's different ways to join. At the lowest level, you have access to all the content. At another level, if you want to have one-on-one sessions with Isabel and I, you can do that too. So if you would like to be mentored by us, please go to patreon.com/Rick Pina. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we pray that we will continue to be a blessing to you.